Okay, so I want to get into this message. I've got a little bit to share with you this morning, and I want you to pay close attention. There's going to be a little illustration in here and interpretive dance and some things like that, but I want you to pay close attention to the scriptures this morning. I want you to listen to what Holy Spirit is speaking to you personally through the Word of God today. There's something very powerful about what you're about to hear. And if you will listen to it, in fact, some of you really need to, everybody really needs to write it down. There's a few scriptures in particular that I feel like Holy Spirit's just going to zing you with personally that you need to write down that needs to be your scripture, your mantra, something that you read every day, listen to, think about, meditate on every day. Okay, so first I want to go to John chapter 10, verse 1. And I'm going to read this to you, and then I've got a few more scriptures as we go on into this message today. John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus is speaking in this passage of scripture, and I want you to hear clearly his words and how he's speaking to his sons and daughters, or in this passage, his sheep. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them." Now pay attention to this. "He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice." Why do they follow him? Say it again. Why do they follow him? They know his voice. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. He walks ahead of them. This is going to get you in a minute. And they follow him because they know his voice. It doesn't say he gets behind them and pushes them. It doesn't say that he drags them along. It says that he walks ahead of them and they follow him. For what reason? Because they know his voice. Now listen, verse 5. "They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Let me just stop for a moment. Teach on this for just a second. I've counseled so many people in my time as a pastor and even just as a friend. And in knowing the Word of God, in some of the things that he has shown me over the years and set me free from, one of the things that really disturbs me is when I hear Christians say, "I have to know these things and study all these things, all these different religions and all these different things out there. I have to know the world. I have to study the world. I have to know it so that when I see it, I can recognize it." No, you don't have to do any of that stuff. In fact, if that's the way you think, that is a lie from the enemy, and it's a trap from the enemy to get you trapped in. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a lie. That's a trap. The enemy wants you to think that you have to study all these things and dig into all these other religions and all these false religions and know what they're about so that you can debate them or discount them. But you don't have to know those things. This word says right here, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Not because they studied it and they know it well enough that they know it's the enemy. You don't have to study the counterfeit to know what the real is. I've said this to you many times before. I found this out from bankers. I found out that bankers, when they're teaching tellers how to spot counterfeits, they don't teach them how to spot the counterfeit by showing them every counterfeit that's out there. They don't study the counterfeit. They don't give them as many counterfeit bills as they can find and say, "Here, study all these. That way, when you see a counterfeit, you'll be able to spot it." You know how they teach them to spot a counterfeit? They give them the real deal, and they have them study that so well that they know every detail of the real bill, and then once a counterfeit comes across their counter, they know exactly that it's counterfeit because they studied the truth. Jesus didn't say, "You shall know all the counterfeits And so when you know all the counterfeits, then the truth will set you free. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You don't have to study the counterfeit. You don't have to know all the other voices out there. All you have to know is the voice of your good shepherd. And if you know his voice, then you will recognize when it's not his voice. Amen? I mean, how many husbands do we have here? Husbands, raise your hand. Husbands, you're married. Husbands, you know your wife's voice, don't you? Especially when she's mad at you, right? Like she could say some stuff sometimes, right, that you know there's a little edge to it, like you did something wrong. You're on the other side of the house, and she calls your name, and that's when you hear that tone in her voice, you want to go hide somewhere, right? Or you immediately shout out, I didn't do it! It was one of the kids. We just throw the kids right under the bus right away. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't me. Because you know her voice. You didn't go out and study all these other women. Because if you did, it'd be more than a voice you'd be afraid of. Right? Yes. Verse 6 says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration, didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. He said, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. But the true sheep did not get trapped by the disguise of the enemy. Verse 9, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. It's interesting. Someone recently asked me, what does this scripture mean? What does this part mean? They will come and go freely. Well, here's a little bit of what that means. It means that it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Amen? It's for freedom that he sent us free. So we will no longer get back in bondage in slavery. We will no longer get back into the shackles that we were once in. It's for freedom that he set us free. So don't let yourself be bound up again by the law. They will come and go freely means that you are free to be who God created you to be. It means that we are free to follow the good shepherd. It means that we are free to follow his will and to follow his word. You will come and go freely. You're no longer in bondage. You can be who God called you to be and who he created you to be. You'll come and go freely in and out of the sheepfold, in and out of the gate. But there's only one way in. His name is Jesus. And if you come in through him, you're going to be able to come and go freely. That doesn't mean you leave him. That doesn't mean you leave the sheepfold. That doesn't mean you backslide. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying you're free. It's for freedom that I set you free. You're free. Paul said this. He said, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Right? This is what he said. But don't use your freedom to get bound up again in slavery. Understand that if you're following the good shepherd, he will lead you down the right path. So, it finishes with verse 10 in this part of the scripture, and then I'm going to skip to verse 14, and he says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I mean, we've heard this scripture hundreds, maybe thousands of times. It's a very popular scripture. The thief's come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give them life and life abundantly, or a rich and satisfying life, or whatever version you're reading. In other words, the thief is coming to destroy you. He's coming to kill you. He's coming to trap you. His whole purpose is to destroy your life. His whole purpose is that you burn in a lake of fire along with him. I don't have time to get into all this, but somebody needs to hear this morning. That's why I stop sometimes on these things. When Holy Spirit says, say this, I'm going to say it. Somebody needs to hear that the lake of fire, hell, was not created for you. Some people get all mixed up because they're so wounded inside, and they can't connect to their heavenly father because maybe some things that happen with their earthly father are just things that happen on earth and wounds in their life, and they're so wounded inside that they still think that if he's such a good father, why would he create hell and why would he want to put us in it? First of all, he did not create hell for you. He created hell. He created hell for Satan and his demons. When Lucifer, one of the archangels, fell from heaven because of his pride, when he fell from heaven and was cast out of heaven, he took a third of the angels with him. The third that he took were the ones that were under his charge. They were under his care. He was the leader of those angels, and because he was the leader of those angels, if there's poison at the top, there's going to be poison throughout. So I always say to you, go home and study the word. Go and read it for yourself. Dig into it. Don't just take what I tell you and say, okay, pastor said it. It's this way it is. No, go home and study it. I want you to search it out. Why? Because I'm not saying I'm trying to mislead you or anything like that. I'm trying to speak the truth. But sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes pastors get it wrong. Leaders get it wrong. And you need to see it for yourself. Amen? So Satan was cast out of heaven, and when he was cast out of heaven, God created hell for Satan, for Lucifer, and the third of the angels that were cast out with him. So it wasn't created for you. However, think about this real quickly. This is nowhere in my notes, but I have to say this. Somebody here, maybe several, need to hear this. But think about this. God cast out Satan out of heaven because of his sin, because of his pride, and a third of the angels with him, and he was cast down, and then God created man. And God created Adam and Eve and put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he gave Adam and Eve a free will, just like we have a free will today. And he said, you have a choice. Here's your choice. There are two trees in the center of the garden. One is the tree of life. The other one is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which I always call the tree of death, the tree of life and the tree of death. And God said, you may eat freely of any tree in the garden, every tree. You can eat of every tree in the garden. And then he said this, he said, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, if you eat from it, you will surely die. Now, he didn't say don't eat from it. He warned them, if you do eat from it, you will die. Read the word. Read the word. He didn't say you're absolutely restricted from it. Free will. If he restricted them from it, if he put it in front of them, but then held their hands back from picking it, they wouldn't have free will. But because they were able to reach out and grab the fruit, that demonstrated that they had complete free will, just like we do today. They could make the choice. Isn't it interesting that they chose death over life? At any moment, at any time, they could have eaten from the tree of life, right? But they didn't eat from the tree of life. They chose the tree of death. Why? The reason they chose that tree was because the enemy came. Satan was cast down to earth, and he came in the form of a snake, and he deceived them. He tricked them into thinking the way he thinks and speaking the way he speaks. They made a choice to follow Satan. You getting this? They made a choice to follow Satan. Well, they just listened to that one lie, and they followed him. If you choose that, you're following. Joshua said it this way, choose this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You choose. So I'm telling you that God, Jesus is saying clearly in this scripture, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And they know when the enemy is speaking, they know it's not my voice and they refuse to follow. Now look at verse 14. Jesus said in verse 14 of John 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold and I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock with one shepherd. Amen. Where's Ethan? Ethan, come on out. I want you to come down at this end down here. So a couple weeks ago, I did this illustration. I had a much bigger rope out here. It was one of the ropes that Rodney Forbes brought from the marina. I thought I'd get a little bit better, easier rope to hold on to today, a little bit shorter. Ethan is, a couple weeks ago I did this, and if you were, how many were here 2 weeks ago when I did this illustration? You watched it. Okay, several of you. So he's going to be Jesus, okay? And I said, the Lord showed me, he said, it's when Jesus came to call the disciples, let's just say I'm Matthew and I'm sitting at my tax collector booth and I'm collecting taxes, and Jesus came by Matthew and he walked by and he said, follow me. And he kept walking. Jesus didn't say, follow me. Hey, follow me, let's go, let's go. Follow me, let's go. Follow me. He said, follow me. And I can imagine, I don't know what the conversation was like. It's not recorded, but I can imagine Matthew going, huh? You know, a couple of people around, what did he just say? Huh? Did he said, follow him. Follow him. Who is he? I don't know. But he said, follow him. So I think I'm going to follow him. And Matthew started following. The Lord showed me, he said, listen, the moment you make a decision to follow me, the moment you step over, you cross over, you choose salvation, you choose life, all right? Just to tie it together. The moment you choose life, it's like you're grabbing a rope that is tied to me. It's like you're grabbing the rope. And 2 weeks ago, I showed you that Jesus has the other end of the rope, and he's walking. Okay, so you're walking, and we got to hold on to the rope. And remember, 2 weeks ago, I said in that message, I said, it gets hard. It gets hard, this journey. Jesus promised us it would be hard, didn't he? Many times in scriptures, he said, you will suffer trials of many kinds. In scripture, he said this. In Matthew, he said the gate is broad and the road is wide that leads to destruction and many enter through it. But the gate is narrow and very difficult that leads to eternal life and only a few find it. Right? That's what he said. It's difficult. How many of you have been a Christian more than a year? Raise your hand. All right. Mostly everybody in this place. How many of you that have been a Christian more than a year say there have been times it's been difficult to follow? Raise your hand. All right, everybody in this place. Because it is. It's hard at times, right? It's difficult. This process of following Jesus is difficult. And he's walking and we got to hold the rope. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. A lot of times we're holding the rope. Go ahead, walk, Jesus. We're holding the rope. And sometimes we're just fighting against it. Like, I don't want to go any farther. I don't want to let go of the rope, but I don't want to walk any farther. And Jesus is going to keep walking. And how many of you think Jesus is more powerful than we are? Okay? So who do you think is going to give way first? So what happens is he's walking and we're struggling with it. I don't want to go there, Jesus. I don't want to. Ow! And as the rope starts slipping, it starts burning our hands. And pretty soon, you get enough of that, and we just let go. I can't tell you, and it breaks my heart how many people I've seen that have, you know, seriously made a commitment in their heart. They crossed over. They're like, I need this. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. I know that God called me to this. I choose life, and they chose life, but then the road got difficult, and Jesus is still walking, and the rope starts slipping in our hands, and we're getting rope burns, and it hurts, and it's hard, and they just let go of the rope, and they walked away. And it breaks my heart because I'm like, I know it's hard, but I don't know how else to explain this to you. It's hard, but you got to hold on. But then God, last week, after 2 weeks ago after that message, God said this. He said, Bill, that's good. He said, now show him this. He said, as Jesus is walking, he said, it's not enough just to hold on. I said, what do you mean, God? He said, it's not enough just to hold on. Then you got to start drawing closer. And as he's walking and you start to draw closer, he does something. He starts to come closer. And the closer you get to him, the closer he's drawing to you. And before you know it, if you just keep holding on and you keep drawing closer, there he is right there. Now, just give me a full-on hug. Come on, bro. That's not a Jesus hug. Well, stay there. Do you see that? I said, oh, God, that's really good. He said, I know. Isn't that funny? I'm telling God, that's good, God. That's really good. That's a good word, Jesus. That's a good word, Holy Spirit. And so I'm seeing this, and I'm like, oh, man, that's so good. Just stay there for a minute, Ethan. And so I'm like, okay, God, what do you want to say about this to them? And here's what he said to me. He said, talk to them about how many people say, I can't hear him. How do I know if he's speaking, Pastor? I can't hear him. How do I know if he's speaking? I try to listen for him, but I don't know if he's speaking to me. How can I hear him? And God said, show him this scripture. Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 16 says this. It says, for God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He's speaking. He's continually speaking. He's speaking again and again, but many people don't recognize it. Now think about this. Think about this. The Hebrew for that, actually the Hebrew definition for that is that though people don't notice him or hear him. People don't notice him or hear. For God speaks again and again, though people don't notice him or hear him. If you are connected to the Father, if you're connected to Jesus, you're holding onto this rope, and he's walking ahead of you and leading you, then, and you're holding on like this, you just crossed over and you're holding on, and you're like back here and you're fighting it, and I'm just gonna, you know, this is hard, and all of that. Look at the distance between you and Jesus. Maybe the reason you can't hear him is because he's still walking and you're holding on and you're so far away. Maybe that's why we can't hear him. And so what'll happen is we'll develop a church full of babies who want me to keep feeding them a bottle and changing their diaper. I'm so sorry. That sounded really harsh. But if you're not a baby, that probably didn't hurt your feelings. And if you're a newborn baby, you're probably okay with that. Hey, I just came into this thing. I'm okay with you changing my diaper for a little while. But if you've been in church for 30 years and that offended you, well, maybe you needed to be offended. That is not popular preaching right there. That is not. That's not going to win me any friends right there. Okay? But I'm telling you what God's showing me. And so Jesus is walking, and he's walking. Ethan, come back this way a little bit so you can walk a little bit. I want to show them this. Come on back. All right, now start walking, and you're talking. Just start talking, just like you're in a normal, soft voice. He's talking. I'm like, huh, what, Jesus? Jesus, what are you saying? I can't hear you, Jesus. Can you talk a little louder? I'm way back here on the end of the rope, Jesus. I can't hear you, Jesus. And that's what a lot of us look like. That's what we're doing. And here's, it's simple. Here's what God said. Just start drawing closer. And as soon as you start drawing closer, look what Jesus does. Now he's talking to me. He look, what? Oh, I can hear you. Hey, how you doing, Jesus? I haven't heard your voice in so long. Oh, you have been talking to me the whole time? Yeah, what have you been saying?
I've been talking about how awesome I am.
How awesome I am. I love you, Jesus. You don't know how much he loves you. You don't know how much he thinks of you. You don't know how awesome you are. You don't know that he's your greatest fan. He's saying these things. He's walking along and he's saying, man, you are awesome. Jake, you are so awesome. I love you so much. He's not talking this loud, okay, because then you can hear him across the stage. Because I get a little excited, right? And I got a microphone. And he's like, you're just amazing. I just love you so much. I can't believe how you're stepping into this and how amazing you are. Do you see what's ahead of you? Do you see where I'm leading you? Do you see your future? And all the while, we're back here going, I don't see it. And I don't hear him. And I'm feeling, I mean, I know I'm, have you ever said this? I know I'm saved. I meant it in my heart. But why do I feel so far away from him? Let me tell you something. Yes, Jesus promised it would be hard. Yes, he promised it would be difficult. Yes, he promised there would be trials. But he never said in his word that you had to go through depression. He never said in his word that you had to feel alone and abandoned. Ever. If that's what you're hearing, that's the enemy. And you're probably hearing that voice because you're so far away from the shepherd's voice. And he's speaking to you over and over again. And this process of drawing close is difficult. Yeah, it takes work on our part to just keep pulling and moving closer. But look what he's doing every time. Every time you take a step and draw closer, Jesus does the same thing. Now pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. God is speaking to you over and over again. I know I need to hurry, but let me just give you a few more things. He's speaking over and over again. In Acts chapter 8, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. And then shortly after that, Holy Spirit spoke to Philip. And at the same time that this was happening, Jesus was speaking to Saul, who he knocked off his horse. And he's speaking to Saul. So Holy Spirit, an angel is speaking to Philip. And then the Holy Spirit was speaking to Philip. And then Jesus is speaking to Saul at the same time that this is happening. And then shortly after, God is speaking to Ananias. He's constantly speaking. He's speaking over and over again. He never stops speaking. I mean, there may be times that he stops speaking, but for brief moments, but those times that he stops speaking, you are so close to him, okay, that he doesn't have to speak. He just puts his arm around you. You just walk in together. Right? I mean, this is where we want to be. This is where we need to be. This is so much better of a place to be than way on the end of the rope. But let me just say this. You have to choose to get closer. You have to choose to get closer. Remember free will. He's not going to pull you along. He's not going to drag you. It's free will. I'm not laying down this week because I got this really cool new jacket on, so I'm not laying on this floor in this week. I don't wear jackets often. You remember, you know this, right? But this one, I love it. And I can pull the sleeves up, so it's really. So if you decide, that's it. I want to hold the rope, and you fall down on the floor, he's not going to drag you. Free will. Free will. If he drags you somewhere you don't want to go, it's not free will. You know what free will means? You get to choose. If he's dragging you, you don't really want to go, but he's dragging you, is that free will? Nope. Plus, the scripture says this. James 4, 7 and 8 says, so then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will come even closer to you. Is that what it says? Move your heart closer and closer to God. Another version says, draw close to God, and he will draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Who has to draw near first? Who has to take the first step? You know why? Because you have a free will. You have a free will. So here I am. I'm exercising my free will. Jesus, I'm coming closer. Look at that. I'm coming closer, right in step. I'm coming closer. And every time you take a step and pull on the rope, he's pulling closer and closer. He's like, but if I stop? Hello? Right? I could see Jesus, if he had conversations with us audibly, I could see him saying this. If we stopped right there like that, stop there, Ethan. And I stop, I could see him saying, is this as far as you want to come? Is this as close as you want to get? You know? If it is, that's up to you. It's your choice. You want to get closer? Get closer. You want to draw nearer to him? Draw nearer to him. But it's your choice. Come near to God. Move your heart closer and closer to God, and he will move even closer to you. But make sure you cleanse your life, and you sinners, and keep your heart pure, and stop doubting. I remember this rope I gave to Kim when we were in college. You know what, Ethan? You go ahead and drop it. Go ahead and have a seat. That's good. Give Ethan a hand. Thank you, brother. He's a good Jesus. I remember this rope that I gave to Kim when we were in college. I gave her this rope. I handed it to her. It was all like this, and it was all wound up. I think I got a rope back here. Hand me that rope right there. Ha, you thought I wasn't going to come back, didn't you? So I handed her this rope. Not this rope, but a rope like this. We were in college, what was that, 32 years ago? And I handed it to her, and I said, take this to your dorm. Now, she lived on the third floor up there at Lee. Now it's Lee University, Lee College back then. And I handed her the rope, and I said, take this to your dorm. And she said, for what? And I said, you'll see later. Just trust me. Take it to your dorm. She lived up on the third floor. So later that night, I went to her dorm, and I had something for her. And I went out there, and I grabbed some pebbles, and I was down on the ground out on the outside of the dorm, and I grabbed some pebbles, and I started throwing them at a window, and then this girl stuck her head out, and I was like, oops, sorry, wrong window. And then I moved over to the right one, threw some rocks at this window, and Kim stuck her head out, and she said, hey, and I said, hey. I said, throw the rope down. So she threw the whole rope down. She did. Didn't you? She did. She was like, okay, there you go. I like, okay. It was so cute, I didn't want to get mad, right? So I ran all the way around to the dorm entrance, and some girls were in there. I said, will you take this up to Kim Fike? And they're like, sure. And so they ran it back up to her, and then she stuck her head back out the window laughing. And I said, just throw one end of the rope down, and you hold the other end. Made it perfectly clear. And she threw one end of the rope down. Now, what I did was I had this basket, and I tied the rope to the end of the basket, and the basket had a bunch of stuff in it, flour, treats, chocolate, all that, and had a, I know, I know. That was pretty awesome of me, wasn't it? I'm a romantic. I'm still doing it. I still surprise her. I still surprise her with things like that. That's right. Listen, y'all, you can't stop loving and showering the person you love with the affection, right? It doesn't stop just because you got married. I'm not going there, but I'll say this. No, that wasn't Holy Spirit, but I will say this, husbands, I will say this. If it stops the moment you get married, it wasn't love in the first place. You were wanting something that you didn't need to have. I'm not going to say anything else. This is a PG sermon right here. And I don't care what the songs say about put a ring on it. I need to stop. All right. So I tied it, and I had a record on, a 45. Everybody remember 45s? A little 45 record. She had a record player up in her dorm, and I had a 45 record, and it was a song by, most of you won't even know who it is, but he sang this song called You Take My Breath Away. It was Leaf, what was his? Garrett, Leaf Garrett. He sang a song, Leaf Garrett, You Take My Breath Away. And that 45 was in there, and just all this chocolate and stuff, and I put it on the end of the, tied it up, and I said, okay, now pull it up, and she pulled up the rope. And when the basket got up there, she had all that stuff. Now, I tell this story because the Holy Spirit brought this to my attention, to my memory, when I was talking about this, when he was showing me this. He said, listen, you have to, you know, you have to take the first step. And Kim could have, when I did that, Kim could have just refused to throw the rope down or been afraid to throw the rope down. You see what I'm saying? You never know what's, you know, in that situation, you don't know what's going to be on the end of the rope, right? She could have thought, I wanted her to pull me up and sneak into the dorm that night. You know what I mean? I don't know. But she had to take the first step. She threw the rope down, and then she had to pull the rope up. But there was a great blessing at the end of the rope. And I think that we sometimes we're afraid to pull closer. We don't understand that we have to do that. We have to put some effort into this. It's not, again, it's free will. You have to put some effort into it. Remember what God has been saying to us over this series. The process can be difficult, but the process is fruitful. The reward is in the process. Remember the first message of the series? The reward is in the process. It's in the process. It's not, so many of us in church today, we're just waiting. We're just holding on. We're just holding on to the end of this rope until heaven comes. Oh, Jesus, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I can't hold on much longer, Jesus. And we're just waiting for heaven because that's where the reward is. No, the reward is right here, right now. It's right here. Jesus promised us this in his word. He said this, I'm paraphrasing, but this is a scripture. He said, whoever gives up husbands or wives or children or houses or land or possessions for me here on this earth, whoever gives it up for me will have 100 times what he gave up. And not when you get to heaven. He said, right here, right now. That's the promise of the Word of God. Look it up. Where is it found? You go look it up. You find that scripture. You got to quit waiting for heaven. You got to quit just holding on to the end of the rope as long as you can. Draw closer to God. The process of drawing closer will be so fruitful for you. Remember this. The reward is in the process. It's fruitful. John 15, 1 through 8 says this. Jesus said, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Remember that the Word of God tells us that we were not saved by good works, but we were saved for good works. It wasn't our good works that got us saved. It's only the blood of Jesus. There's no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Because he died for us, we can now be saved. But we were not saved by good works, but we were saved for good works. After the cross, we have to display good works. Well, how do you display good works if you're not scooping up good fruit along the way? You ever think about that? So he said, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, can I say it to you this way? Those who hold onto the rope and keep moving closer. And I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Yes. Did you hear that? Why is it we glaze over those scriptures? Why is it we glaze over those? Do you think about that? Come on, y'all. I know there are so many people in this place that at one time or another, maybe right now, you were like I was. You're like, man, can... Does he really mean that? Rod, does he really mean anything? We can ask for anything we want in his name as long as we remain in him. And it will be granted anything in his name, according to his will. Anything we want. So let me just go here with you. How many of you believe that it is God's will that we be healed? How many believe that's God's will? Amen. It is. You know it is. Okay, let me show it to you this way. How many of you believe that it's God's will that all people be saved? It's God's will. Now, will everybody be saved? No. Has everybody been saved? No, because we have a free will and we have to choose it. Okay? There are a lot of people that believe it's God's will for us to be saved and that God wants all people to be saved. But there are a lot of people that don't believe God wants all people to be healed. I've heard people say to me, well, if God chooses to heal me, God already chose to heal you when he sent his son to be tortured on your behalf. He already made the choice. What are you waiting on him to choose for? He already chose. It's up to you to choose now. Are you going to choose to step into his word and believe his word and remove all doubt? Listen, y'all, I'm not angry about this. Everybody's dealt with sickness at one time or another, but here's the thing. I think we got to get to a place where we believe the word of God over every lie of the enemy. Just like this, you can ask for anything, and if you remain in me, my words remain in you. What remains in you? My what? Say it again. My what? If my words remain in you, in other words, what he says about you and what he says for you is greater than anything the enemy says. If his word remains in you, his words that he's speaking to you remain in you, then you can ask for anything in my name and it will be granted. That's truth. And then he said, when you produce much fruit, you are my disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. So let me give you another scripture as we're closing this thing out. You've got to choose not just to hold on to the rope, but you got to choose to move closer and closer. Closer and closer to Jesus. You want to hear his voice? Get closer. And all the while that you're drawing closer, he's going to draw closer to you. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Bill? Real easy. It's real simple. Spend time with him. You're not getting closer to him when you spend more time on Facebook than you do in prayer. I don't care how many scriptures you put out there. I don't care who you're debating out there on Facebook. I don't care how you think you're, a crusader, a Jesus crusader on Facebook for the church. You're not. Stop debating people on Facebook. Stop doing all that garbage. You're just making the church look foolish. God doesn't need us to do that for him. You know what he needs you to do? Love people. You think they feel God's love when you're debating them? They don't feel his love. They're not feeling loved by you. I don't care how many smiley faces and all those things you put on there. You put all the emojis you have in your whole phone on there. They don't feel loved by you when you're debating them on Facebook. When you're slapping them in the head with scripture. I'm not saying you agree with them, and I'm not saying you condone what they do. That's not what we're talking about. But what I'm saying is just love them. Why don't you see them through the eyes of God? Why don't you love them like that? So you have to draw closer and closer to God. You have to draw closer to him. Get as close as you can to him. And stop spending time doing all these foolish things when all everything you need. How many of you would love for that to happen in your life, that anything you ask for in his name would be granted you? How many would like that right now? How many need that right now? I need it. If there's anybody that wouldn't raise their hand, what is wrong with you? There's a lot of things I want and I need. And I know that his word is true. But the closer I get to him, the closer I get to him to the point I can't get any closer, imagine how much of his word is alive in you, remains in you when you're that close. Huh? You're hearing. Think about this. Ethan, I'm sorry. One more time. Come. One more time. I have to. Good thing you're young. Spry. All right, let's do this. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. We're getting closer, all right? All right, wait. No more Facebook. All right, and I'm not saying you have to delete it off your phone, but some of you need to. Pastor Bill, are you mad at Mark Zuckerberg? Why are you so on Facebook right now? Mad about Facebook. I'm not mad about Facebook. I'm using that for anything. Whatever's distracting you from getting closer, right? You're not here, oh, I want to get closer to you, Jesus. I want to get like. Love, 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 love. I want to get closer to you, Jesus. Oh, laugh face, laugh face. I wish there was a dislike on this. I wish there was a dislike button. Anybody ever say that before? Yeah, hold on, Jesus. Wait, hold on a second. Just let me, I'm debating for you, Jesus. You should have heard what this person said. We're getting closer and closer, closer and closer, closer and closer until we're right here. And then here's the cool thing. Holy Spirit just spoke to me. When the shepherd's voice is right in your ear, you can't hear any other voice. Right? And like, Jesus is fun. He's the most fun person you ever hung out with in your life. Some people, you got to get over this. You got to get over this. Like God's just all grumpy and everything. He's not. He's got a great, where do you think we got sense of humor from? Huh? We were created in his image and in his likeness. He laughs all the time. When I had my first Sozo, when I had my very first Sozo, and if you haven't had one, you need to have one. Sozo ministry at the River Church. You need to have Sozo. It's not anything freaky. It's completely biblical. There's no witchcraft involved in it. I'm going to say it. I don't care what other people are saying out there. I don't care what's all over the internet. Get off the stupid internet and get in the Word of God. I'm sorry. Whoever created the internet, it's not stupid. It's been very beneficial to me at times. But I'm telling you, my very first Sozo that I had, I had done inner healing before myself. And my very first Sozo, it was amazing because the person that was doing it said, "What do you see right now?" And I said, I see Jesus grabbing my hand and we're running through a field together. Man, why is it so real right now as it was the day I saw it? And we're running through a field together. We actually had hands like this, and we're running through a field together. And as we're running through the field together, his head is back, and he's just laughing. He's just laughing, and I didn't feel weird. I didn't feel odd. I didn't feel like he was laughing at the way I was running. Yeah. It wasn't that kind of laugh. We were just having fun together. He was having so much fun. And so I was having fun. And we got to the center of the field, and we just stopped. And we stood there like this. We're looking around, and he's just speaking things to me. He's just like right in my ear, and he's laughing, and he's telling me stuff. And as he's doing this, Holy Spirit was dancing around us in a big circle, just dancing. And guess what he was doing? Laughing. The Bible says that we serve a happy God. He's happy. He's laughing. He wants to have fun with you. This life is all about joy. What's your strength? The joy of the Lord is your strength. So he wants you to be right here. He wants you to be right here. Attached to the vine. As close to the vine as possible. Do you know the fruit closest to the vine is the largest? I can't, Ethan, quit distracting me. I can't go down that road. Just kidding, he's not. Thank you, Ethan. So let me leave you with this scripture, and then I'll come back in a moment. I've got a short illustration we want to show you. But it's Luke chapter 6, verse 19. And it says this, "The entire crowd eagerly tried to come near Jesus so they could touch him and be healed, because a tangible, supernatural power emanated from him, healing all who came close to him."